We're continuing again this week with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and the verses we've come to today are very, very relevant to this world of turmoil and conflict, not only to the world of nations, but to our individual lives. Matthew 5, verse 38 following. But first I ask this question. Does Jesus ever contradict the Old Testament? Well, in the passage which we come to today, which was read to us from Matthew 5, it would seem that he does. It seems that the Old Testament commands personal revenge, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, says the Old Testament. And we find these words in Exodus 20, 21 and Deuteronomy 19. It seems that the Old Testament is telling us to take revenge. And Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 38, you've heard that it was said, that is in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So does the Old Testament command the taking of revenge? In fact, it doesn't. In fact, the Old Testament is doing the very opposite of encouraging revenge. How is that? Well, firstly, in the ancient world, let's just remember how people lived. It's not so different today either. A family feud, a tribal feud. Imagine one person of one family hurts the eye or takes out the eye of a person of another family. Then the injured person gets the whole family, the whole of his family, to make war and to take revenge on the family of the one who injured him. One man has lost one eye, so his family go and, let's say, take five eyes from the opposing family. Then the family who have lost five eyes, who are part of a tribe, get the whole tribe to go and retaliate against the other tribe. And let's say they remove 100 eyes of the opposite tribe. And you can see the conflict escalates. It was just one eye at first. And then it became five. And then 100. And it goes on and on and on. Escalation of a conflict into full-scale war. And God, who in the Old Testament chose Israel to be his people, said, you mustn't be like that. Just one eye for an eye, one tooth for a tooth. That's the point. Not five eyes for an eye. Just one eye for an eye, one tooth for a tooth. In other words, don't take revenge, only retribution. Retribution means only do what is due. No more. Don't overdo it. That was the Old Testament message. Even today, we see how a little misunderstanding between one nation and another leads to bigger and bigger trouble. A lack of trust leads to suspicion, leads to fear, leads to hatred, leads to a border incident between the two nations involving a few soldiers, leads to an incursion, leads to an invasion, leads to the bombing of factories, leads to the bombing of cities. And in our day, with modern weapons, we know where that can lead. Not that this process is the only cause of war. There are other causes, but this is a major factor. how many terrible conflicts involving hundreds of thousands of lives have been started for the most trivial reason. And against that tendency in humankind, God said to Moses in the Old Testament, just one eye for an eye, and one tooth for a tooth. No more. Don't let it build up, in other words. Far from being a counsel for revenge, the Old Testament message was the beginning of mercy. In our own personal lives, we know the same thing can happen. A little incident can lead to a great souring of relationships. Someone may ignore you. You think it's deliberate. It probably isn't. But you think it may be deliberate. And so you become a little huffy. And the other person becomes a little snappy. And then you become a little suspicious. And the other person becomes rather insulting. And it gets greater and greater until you're not speaking again for the rest of your life. The Old Testament commandment is don't let things build up. Just one eye for an eye. No more. The Old Testament then was the beginning of mercy, the beginning which Jesus completes and fulfills. When Jesus said, don't even repay any evil for evil. It's not that Jesus is contradicting the Old Testament. He's bringing it to its completion. The Old Testament's the beginning, and Jesus brings it right to completion. Remember, he said, I didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. God who revealed his will to Moses is also the same God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he does not change. Even in the Old Testament, we get a glimpse of this, of what Jesus said. In the book of Leviticus, we read, you shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against the sons of your own people. In the book of Proverbs, we read this in 24:29. Do not say, I'll do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did. And in chapter 25, verse 21, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. So says the Old Testament. Secondly, this Old Testament law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, didn't even apply to personal relationships. It was speaking more about the law court. It was telling the judge not to use excessive punishment upon the wrongdoer, but only give a punishment that would fit the crime. Don't be excessive. It's the same today in our national life. We need police. We need law courts. We need prisons. In our personal relationships, one with another, we can turn the other cheek. Jesus said, do not resist an evil person. But in our nations, we can't do that. When Jesus says to us, do not resist an evil man, he doesn't mean that nations shouldn't have law courts and prisons and police. He's talking about our personal relationships, one with another. And he gives us four little examples. The first one is, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. Just think of that. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, if they're using their right hand to strike you on the right cheek, then they've got to do it with the back of their hand. not the front. It has to be done with the back of the right hand on the right cheek. Now, the significance of that is that in the Middle East, that was a very great insult in their custom in the time of Jesus. To strike someone with the back of the hand was a terrible insult. It may not have hurt so much as with the forehand, but it was a far greater insult. So Jesus is saying about turn the other cheek is more about how we should react to insult than how we should react to physical pain. And what did he endure? Well, Isaiah says to us in chapter 50, verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Jesus was spat at, blindfolded, struck in the face by the Jewish and Roman police. And what does the New Testament say about his reaction? In 1 Peter 2, verse 21 to 24, we read, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And yet these sufferings of Jesus do not mean that he was a weakling. On the contrary, he challenged the high priest. He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. We see in Christ a strong man whose self-control and love for others was so great he was able to resist the temptation to take revenge. Are you and I strong enough not to take revenge? Revenge is not a sign of strength, it's a sign of weakness. And Jesus' life was not weakness, but love. He resisted the devil. He resisted the scribes and the Pharisees when they wanted him to stop healing on the Sabbath. So Jesus did resist, but his action was governed by love. We too must stand firm for what is right, but only in a spirit of love, never in revenge or bitterness. When Jesus said, do not resist the evil person, his purpose was not to encourage people to be unjust, dishonest, but he was forbidding revenge. You know Tolstoy and Mahatma Gandhi, two very great men, admired this passage of Jesus, these words of Jesus, but they misunderstood it, I believe. They both said, this means that we must have no police and no law courts and no prisons. Jesus said we mustn't resist the evil person, therefore we must have no police and no law courts. But there is a distinction which I think they didn't understand. And that's why we read also today from Romans 12 and Romans 13. In Romans 12, Paul is echoing the words of Jesus about our personal relationships with one another. And he says in verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. That's what Paul says about our personal relationships. But in the very next verses, he talks about our national life, and he tells us that we must submit to the governing authorities. He tells us that the governing authorities, when they punish the wrongdoer, are doing right. They should punish the wrongdoer. That's what Paul says in the very next verses. The principle is this. In national life, we punish the wrongdoer. And the Bible says that is correct. We must do so. In personal life, we must not take revenge. There is retribution. But Paul says it belongs to God. It is He who on the last day will judge men and women. He alone knows us well enough to do that. We mustn't judge one another. He only is the righteous judge. He will repay, Paul says. But this same God also delegates His authority to judge to nations, so there will not be chaos and crime. Nations may misuse their power, and they often do. But still, God has delegated to nations the power to judge the criminal. Now, you and I are both individuals with personal relationships one with another, and we are citizens of a nation. What do we do if we catch a thief in our home? Do we let him go? Because Paul and Jesus said, do not resist an evil person. Or do we call the police? Because the Bible also says that the authorities are there from God. What do we do? Well, if he's been, let's say, if he's been injured in the break-in, it's our duty to him as an individual to give him first aid, to feed him, but also phone the police. We are individuals, we must love him, but we are also citizens of a nation, we must phone the police. And there's no contradiction there. We can love him as a person, but we must respect the laws of our country. We care for him as an individual, but we must also call the police. If he's injured, we help him, but we still call the police. That's really what these words are saying. Remember, at the beginning we said Jesus is not prohibiting justice, but he's forbidding us from taking the law into our own hands by taking personal revenge. I've mentioned Tolstoy and Gandhi. There was another man, Martin Luther King. He had his many faults, as we know, far from perfect, but he was a great man. His house was bombed. For 13 years he was under constant threat of death, accused falsely of being a communist, of being insincere. He was stabbed by a member of his own race. He was slugged in a hotel lobby. He was betrayed by his friends. And yet at his funeral, it was said, there was no bitterness in his heart, no rancor in his soul, no revenge in his mind. In one of his sermons before he was killed, he said, hate multiplies hate in a descending spiral of violence. Hate injures the hater as well as the one who is hated. When we hate, it injures ourselves as well as the person we hate. But love can change an enemy into a friend. Therefore, love has creative as well as redemptive power. By this way, he said, we can win a double victory. We can win freedom from oppression, and we can be friends with those who oppressed us. He was echoing what Jesus had said 2,000 years before, and what Apostle Paul had said as well, which we read today. May each of us, by the power of the Spirit, be strong enough to be in Christ, to love even those who despitefully use us. May God bless us all. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, when we turned against you, you did not take revenge, but you came in great love, and through Christ died that we might be forgiven. We pray that each one of us may know Christ and have his Spirit in us, that we may love as he loved and do as he would do. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.